Let us still our hearts this morning. Some of you will have already heard that Reverend Ken Elliott, dearly beloved brother, colleague in the ministry, suddenly passed away last night. And our hearts are saddened this morning, the passing of our brother, colleague. But also knowing that he is with Christ, we sorrow not as others that have no hope. We pray that God will comfort his wife, his daughters, and his son, their families, this time. Let us pray. Loving Father, we are reminded today of the passing of our dear brother Ken. In the midst of life, we are in death. We thank thee for saving him. We thank thee for calling him. We thank you for his ministry. Many souls have received through the years of his ministry. We thank you for his teaching in the college and all the other aspects of his life and ministry. We pray for Jean today. Let us know her condition. And we pray that you'll comfort her. Remember Shirley and Allison and John and the family circle, that you'll comfort their hearts. May the peace of God be their portion. O God, so teach us today to number our days, we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're joining the singing of 323, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. These hymns today, we're thinking about 50 years ago this week the Lord saved us. And so we're rejoicing in salvation 50 years ago. You know, you didn't think I was 50, but I am 50 this week, 50 years saved. So we rejoice in God's salvation. We're going to sing these hymns of testimony this morning. Amazing Grace, great hymn. We'll stand after the introduction and sing page 307.
Oh,
Let us read together the Word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and reading from the opening verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and reading from the opening verse of this scripture. Let us hear the Word of God this morning. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Let us unite together in prayer. Let us all pray. Our gracious, eternal, and loving Father in heaven, we come into thy holy presence this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Lord, that we turn to a God who is all in all, a God who is above all, a God who is almighty, all-powerful, the omnipotent God. We thank thee that we can say today in the midst of all the confusion and chaos in the highest powers even of our government, and Lord, thou art in control. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art reigning and ruling in the affairs of men. We thank thee, Lord, that beside thee there is none else. We come to thee, Lord, to worship thee today, to pray for thy presence in this house. So meet together, O God, around thy word. May we choose that good part that Mary chose, sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing his word. Speak to our hearts today. Lord, challenge us from thy word. Build us up, Lord, in our holy faith. Give us, O God, that closer walk and that closer communion and that closer fellowship with thyself. We pray that we might know the sweetness of the Savior's presence this morning. We pray for any who cannot be here. Those, O God, who have bodily weakness, we pray that thou wilt touch them and heal them, and restore them if it is your will. Maybe some who have grown careless, we pray that thou wilt stir them again, give them an interest to come on a regular basis to the house of God. We pray, our Father, for those that mourn. As we remember the Elliott family, we lift them up to thee again. We pray for comfort to them at this time in their loss. May they know the presence of the Lord. For others too, O God, that we have heard of who have suffered loss, we pray that thou wilt draw near to them. Those in our congregation who are afflicted, we pray, Father, for healing. We remember, O God, Billy Heron at this time. We pray for thy touch upon Billy, not only physically but spiritually. Remember this dear man, Mervyn's cousin too. We pray for him, Lord, in this valley that he's traversing at this time. Draw near to him. May he know thy grace in his life too, and help his family. Remember Brian's cousin. And these men, O God, who are laid aside. Think of David's uncle at this time. We pray for this dear man too, not saved, and yet with a severe illness. Lord, draw his heart in saving faith to Christ. Others that we know of. Others, O God, who have visits, consultations, all sorts of things happening with their medical condition. We pray that thou wilt draw near in all of these circumstances and grant thy healing touch if it is your holy will. Answer prayer today. Come amongst us, O God, not only here in Ballygowan, but throughout our churches, throughout the land, throughout the nation, throughout the world. Bless the witness of thy truth. Grant that thy word will go forth with power this day, and many souls will be brought to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask in his worthy name for God's eternal glory. Amen. The hymn number 200, we'll stand and sing together. Number 200 in our hymn book. And let us stand and worship the Lord in the singing of this hymn. Grace 'tis the charming sound, harmonious to the ear. Heaven with the echo shall resound, and all the earth shall hear. Number 200 on page 257, we'll stand as we worship the Lord together. boys and girls, we're thinking about this story in Acts chapter 16 concerning Paul and Silas. And this young woman who was possessed with an evil spirit, and she was running after the servants of God. The Bible tells us there in that portion in Acts chapter 16 that she was crying out, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Now, there was nothing wrong with what she said, of course. They did show the way of salvation, but this girl was possessed with an evil power, and she kept following after Paul and Silas. And of course, what she was involved in was something called, as the Bible calls it, soothsaying, or we would say fortune-telling. Telling people's future or people's fortunes. And of course, though there were those who were making money out of it, bringing much gain through what this young woman was doing. But the power of evil was in possession of her life. She was doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And boys and girls, as we're born into this world, we're born with a sinful nature. A nature that is, of course, towards sin and towards doing that which is against God. And we follow that course, the course of this world, a sinful path. And that's what this young woman was doing. Boys and girls, this morning, she followed on after Paul and Silas. And of course, eventually, the servant of God cried out for her deliverance. The deliverance of this young woman from the possession that she had, the evil possession, the evil spirit that dwelled within her, this evil power that was driving her to do these things that were wrong in the sight of the Lord. And of course, the Bible tells us there in Acts chapter 16 what happened. "I command thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her." Here's the great man of God, the Apostle Paul. He commanded the evil spirit to leave her. And the Bible tells us he came out in the same hour. Here's this girl. She was demon-possessed, possessed with an evil power. Satan was driving her life. And now she's delivered by the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And boys and girls, this morning, there is one who can deliver you from your sin. And we all have sin in our hearts. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the one who can come into your heart this morning and change your life as He changed the life of this young woman and set you free. May the Lord change your life. May you invite Jesus to come into your heart this morning, even to be your Savior, your Lord, and your Redeemer, that you might know the change that this young woman knew in her life so long ago. Now we're going to sing a chorus this morning, boys and girls. "Wide, wide is the ocean." I want you to do the action. We'll sing it through twice this morning. If we hear the music, then we'll follow on. "Wide, wide is the ocean, high is the heavens above. Deep is the deepest sea, is my Savior's love. I look so on mercy, still I'm the child of His grace. I'm the ocean,
We do welcome you all to our service this morning in the Lord's name. Trust the Lord's blessing will be upon us to meet together today as our missionary council retiring offerings. To remember those as you leave the services today, both services, please. The missionary council retiring offerings will be taken up. And then could I remind you of the prayer meeting for revival this afternoon at 3:30 to 4:30. We meet for an hour of prayer. And we are, of course, combining this with our gospel mission. And we want to pray. We have just 3 months to pray for the mission. It will soon come by and we need to be in prayer. And so we trust that you will come, if you can, this afternoon from 3:30 to 4:30 or sometime during that period to join us in prayer for revival in our land, our nation, and for our gospel mission at the beginning of April. Do remember, please, this afternoon. Then this evening at 6:30, the time of prayer. And at 6:30, we'll meet in the upper room for prayer again. Tonight, we're going to be sharing our testimony, 50 years a Christian. We're going to speak on that theme tonight. And we trust that you will come and that you will join us again as we give thanks and glory to the Lord for 50 years on the Christian path. Our brother and sister George and Jennifer will minister in song tonight at 7 p.m. And then Monday, the little sunbeams, the Wanna Club meet at the usual times. Tuesday, children's meeting, the usual time, midweek prayer meeting. And Bible study, continuing in the book of Revelation, in our Bible study. And again, the prayer meeting, great emphasis on the mission and the work of the church, of course, as a whole. And then on Friday is our church dinner. This is the last day for people to bring their names forward or bring their menus in, bring their money in, and put your name forward for the dinner. We want you to. There's been a disappointing response from our own congregation. We need to have more people coming, and we would ask you, if you haven't thought about it, or you forgot about it, that you'll remember today, and that you will come on Friday night. It's a special night of fellowship, food, and of course, we'll have a program, Brother Greenfield, our sister Joy Boyd, program of ministering and song and so forth as well after the dinner. Do remember that, please. 6:45, you need to be here at on Friday night. And then the menus are to be brought back today at the latest to Robert Catterson or Mervyn Barr with the necessary money. Please do come and join us for this special night on Friday night. And then could I mention also the youth reach this Saturday night from 7:30 to 9:15. Do please remember that. Next Lord's Day, services in the will of God, Sunday school at 10 and Bible class 11:30. Mr. Nathan McVeigh, who's assistant in our Ards Church, he will be the speaker. And then the communion service will be at the conclusion of the service next Lord's Day. In the evening time, we'll be back again, God willing. It's our special family and friends service next Sunday night. And Brother Samuel Heenum, who's a great testimony, wonderful story of the grace of God, he will be coming to tell his story next Sunday night, and refreshments are in the charge of Group 2. Brother Matthew McGill will minister in song. Do remember this service. Do invite others to attend. Members of your family, come yourself. Friends as well. Hear this wonderful story of the grace of God in the life of our brother Sammy as he comes amongst us. Do please remember this for next Sunday night. Then the Consider Christ outreach in the south, Saturday the 2nd of February. If you're interested in that, please contact Dr. Lindsay Wilson. And then, could I just mention our week of prayer? It's not being held as it would usually be held in the month of January. It's the first week of March, from the 4th to the 10th, because we want it nearer the time of the gospel mission. Reverend Higginson will be coming for that mission 7 nights in the gospel from the 7th to the 14th of April. Do remember that, please, in your prayers, and please do pray for it. Now we're going to join in the singing of the hymn 324, keeping our seats while the offering for the Lord's work is taken up. 324. I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger, felt not my load, though friends spoke in rapture of Christ on the tree. Jehovah's a Kenya was nothing to me. 324, keeping our seats as the offerings for the Lord's work are taken up. do remember the service in Beachfield as usual this afternoon, the nursing home there at 2:30. You're welcome to attend that and support that meeting if you can this afternoon at 2:30. Let's stand for the remainder of the hymn, please. Let us bow in prayer. Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. Lord, give prevailing words this morning. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. I turn your attention this morning to the subject of God's wonderful grace. God's wonderful grace. You'll find the text in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. And Paul said this, "For by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." The grace of God is a wonderful thing. As I reflect today upon my conversion to Christ 50 years ago, this week, the 15th of January 1969, I rejoice in the grace of God in my life, that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And we give thanks unto the Lord this morning for this. Not unto us. Not unto us. But unto thy name. Give glory. What is grace? Grace is God's free, undeserved, unmerited favor. And that grace has been bestowed upon us so richly. It is amazing grace. We think of the words of the hymn we were singing earlier. John Newton's great hymn. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I was lost in my sin. I was ruined. I was wicked. I was wretched. heading for a lost eternity, but the Lord rescued me from ruin, redeemed me by His precious blood, and set me free from the bondage of my sin. And today I have light, and I have life, and I have liberty through the wondrous grace of God. And this is something that fills my soul with joy today. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. To know that I am saved by grace through faith. It was nothing of me. It was all of grace. And we give Him all the glory. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. And what a wonderful gospel we have this morning. A gospel that has impacted upon the lives of so many. And Paul here is speaking about this gospel in the earlier verses of this chapter, 15 of 1 Corinthians. He defines this gospel in the early verses of this chapter. This, my friend, is a life-changing gospel. It's a saving gospel. Because he says in verse 2, when he's speaking about the gospel, by which also ye are saved. And he goes on here to declare the impact of the grace of God in his life, in our text today. And I'm not fit to lace the shoes of the Apostle Paul. Nevertheless, these words sum up the marvelous impact of God's grace in my life 50 years ago and down through those 5 decades of time. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And so I want to speak to you in the closing moments of our service this morning on the subject, God's wonderful grace. First of all, I want you to see here the source of this grace. It's the grace of God. It had nothing to do with Paul. It didn't begin with him. Remember, of course, that Paul, as he was before Saul of Tarsus, he was an ardent opponent of Christianity. He persecuted the church of God. He consented to the death of Stephen in Acts 7. In Acts 9, he was yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Here we have this man. He was a hater of Christ. He was hostile to Christianity. He hounded the servants of the Lord, seeking to imprison and put them to death. On this way he sought to continue to do this. Yet the grace of God reached him. It was nothing short of a miracle. You see, this grace, my friend, this morning is sovereign grace. This grace this morning is saving grace. Here we have this man. God did a supernatural work of grace in his heart that day on the Damascus Road. And we can speak today about the miracle of grace in the life of Saul of Tarsus. God met him on that road to Damascus. God met him suddenly. God met him strikingly. And thank God, he met him savingly. And there on the road to Damascus, Saul of Tarsus was gloriously, and praise God, eternally see it. We think of the triumph of the grace of God in his life. We think of the fact that he was a trophy of grace. And often we have heard this said about a certain people. That man or that woman or that young person, they're a trophy of grace. But all of us who are saved this morning, we are all trophies of grace. It's by the grace of God. It's not by church or by creed or by ceremony. It's not by prelate
or parson or priest. It's not anything to do with man. It's solely by the grace of God. Saved by grace alone, we were singing there. Saved by grace alone. You can go to church all your life. You can give mental assent to the truths that are preached faithfully from the Word of God every week and never be saved. And some of you have been long sitting under the sound of the Word of God. You've heard about this grace, but you've never experienced it. But let me tell you this morning, again, it is only by the grace of God that you will be saved. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you think your church attendance or your good works or your standing in the community will save you, think again. Look at what the Word of God says this morning. It is only the grace of God that saves you through faith. And thank God you can be saved today. You can be saved now. You can trust in Christ now. I heard of a little girl. She was going home from church last Sunday. And she heard the Word of God. And she, as she was going home in the car from church, the church service, she got saved in the car. You see, the Lord can save the little children. And the Lord can save the boys and girls here this morning who are at the age of understanding. God can save you. If you're not saved, thank God, boys and girls, you can be saved today. Young people, you can be saved. Men and women, you can be saved this morning. Whatever your situation may be, you may be religious or irreligious, you may be moral or immoral, you may be rich or poor, you may be educated or uneducated, but the grace of God can reach you and save you right now. That's what happened to me 50 years ago. It wasn't the church I went to, because the church I went to in my early days, I never heard the gospel once. Never heard it once. I never heard the gospel. Oh yes, I had a Christian upbringing, heard the gospel there, but I never heard the gospel in the church I attended in my early years, in Sunday school or in church. It was the grace of God that reached me. Praise His wonderful name. William Gurnall said this, all of grace comes from the God of grace. Martin Luther said, the saved are singled out not by their own merits, but by the grace of the mediator. Murray McShane wrote those words, when I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then how much I owe. D.L. Moody, on one occasion, he became stirred in the preparation of a sermon. It was a sermon on grace. And he was so wrought up in his search for the truth about the grace of God that he seized his hat and he left his study and he strode out onto the street and he accosted the first man he met with the abrupt inquiry, do you know what grace is? The man happened to be a policeman. You'd have thought it wasn't a good idea to accost a policeman. But he accosted that policeman, a points man on duty, with this question. And the question was driven home to that policeman with such earnestness and power that it was used of God in the salvation of that man. What is grace? A free, undeserved, unmerited favor of God. Oh, that you might, like that policeman, know this grace in your life this morning. If you're not saved, that you might experience the grace of God today. Not only is there the source of this grace, but secondly, there is the strength of this grace. By the grace of God, I am what I am. You see, Paul here recalls the transforming grace of God. What was he? He was the great apostle of the Gentiles. He was a man that wrote the greater part of the New Testament.
He was a man who made full proof of his ministry, as he urged others to do in 2 Timothy 4 and 5. And the strength of God's grace was seen in his Christian life and in his ministry. In all of his travels, 3 missionary journeys, you read about them in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. We see the strength of this grace in the life of this man of God, in proclaiming the grace of God everywhere he went, in seeing the grace of God demonstrated in the lives of so many, in the various towns and cities and places where he ministered. Lives were changed and homes rearranged by the mighty power of God, the transforming grace of God. There are so many examples, dear friends, in the book of the Acts of the Apostles of those that were transformed by God's grace, made new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. And all things have become new. Have you been made a new creature in Christ? Oh, you say, well, I professed as a child, but are you a new creature? You know, there are many people who are living on that profession, but they've never gone anywhere. They've never moved forward. They don't manifest the fact that they're new creatures or a new creation in Christ. Are you a new creature? You see, through the ministry of this man of God, Paul the Apostle, the dead were quickened. He said when he wrote to the Ephesians there in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. The blind saw, the fettered were liberated, the deaf heard, all because of the transforming grace of God. And it was the grace of God that transformed me 50 years ago. It is this grace I recommend to you this morning in this service. It is this grace that can transform your life as you sit in the pew this morning here in Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church. You can come to Christ now and be saved. His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But you know, it's not only the transforming grace, it's the transcending grace. Look at verses 10 and 11 here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, by the grace of God I am what I am. His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so ye believe. Here's this man, Paul. He was traveling at the rate of some 17 to 20 miles a day. He covered some 5,580 miles on foot and some 6,770 miles by sea to take the gospel to the untold millions of the world who were still untold. In the space of 20 years or less, it is said that Paul evangelized multitudes of people. While the other apostles were still debating the Great Commission, Paul was evangelizing Tarsus and all the parts of his native land. While they were still putting out tentative feelers as to the possible expansion of the church without hampering the swaddling clothes of an obsolete Judaism, Paul was out conquering Asia Minor, Macedonia, and Greece. He was doing the work of God. He was spreading the gospel. Yet not I, he says, but the grace of God which was with me. Whoever has done this work, it makes no difference. You see, it's grace. Based on Calvary, based on the resurrection of Christ, has been the very foundation of your faith. It is nothing of us, it is all of him. The strength of this grace. John Newton said this, I'm not what I might be. I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I wish to be. I'm not what I hope to be. But thank God I am not what I once was. And I can say with the great apostle, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I can say that this morning after 50 years. In the Christian faith. The third thing is,
This is sustaining grace. You see, Paul was sustained through this grace of God, through many trials and troubles and many times of tempest and turbulence and tears. Life wasn't easy for him. From the first moment of his conversion to Christ until the time he was taken home to glory. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 27, and I'll show you what I mean. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 27. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. All these things. He suffered much for the cause of Christ. But the grace of God sustained him through it all, as it did the other apostles. And others who endured much for the sake of the gospel. And many today, let me tell you this, many today are still being persecuted for the cause of Christ, for the cause of the gospel. As we sit here in comfort without persecution here in this church in Ballygowan, many are being thrown out of their churches. Churches are being burned down. People are being put to death because of their stand for the gospel. Think of Paul before councils, before kings and governors, being called to answer for the faith of the gospel. The grace of God sustained him. And Newton said in this great hymn we have sung this morning, Amazing Grace, he said in one of the verses, through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. And in the midst of bodily trials, the apostle had this sustaining grace when the thorn in the flesh was not removed from him, even though he had besought the Lord three times for it to happen. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He said this, and this was the word from the Lord, in fact, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Many times the child of God has to go through bodily weakness. And maybe you're going through it at the present. None of us knows what we will have to go through in the future. But His grace sustains us in the midst of the severest trials. Sustaining grace. How we have proved this sustaining grace in 50 years and times of sorrow and other trials of life. You think of all that Job endured in his life. All that he had to go through, but the Lord sustained him through it all. And at the end of his life, he was greater than he was at the beginning. Because God sustained him. The grace of God. Sustaining grace. But then I suggest to you this morning, it's successful grace. But I labored more abundantly than they all, he said. You see, God caused His grace to succeed in the lives of many. The labors of the apostle in the gospel were successful under God. Churches were established. God's cause was furthered. His kingdom was extended. Great blessing came upon the work of His servant. He said, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You see, the Spirit of God moved. And signs followed the preaching of the Word of God. And great things were done. Successful grace. And over these years, we have sought God helping us to preach God's grace. And any success there's been has been down to His grace. Nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with the person. But let's give God all the glory. Too often, men want to steal the glory for themselves. They want to say, I did this, or I did the other thing. But it's the Lord that does it. And the Lord chooses to, at times, to use human instruments for His glory. God has at times been pleased to use the foolishness of preaching as He does to save those that believe. And this is our earnest prayer this morning as we continue, the Lord helping us, that we will see our labors be more abundant for Him and for His glory. That as there has been a sowing, there will be a watering, and there will be an increase. The young, middle-aged and old coming to Christ. The Lord met me 40 years ago, 50 years ago I should say, 50 years ago and saved me. The Lord can meet you this morning and save you. I've preached to you all these years. I ask you this morning, will you meet me in heaven? Will you meet me in heaven, friend? It's the most important thing. I pray God will write His word upon our hearts. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy marvelous grace this morning. We thank You for all that Christ has done for us through these years. We give Him the praise, the honor, and the glory. Oh God, we thank Thee for Christian upbringing. We thank You for parents who taught us the things of God. And we thank You for those who instructed us in the way of righteousness. Men who preached the gospel. And we heard and were saved. We rejoice in that. We pray this morning, our God, that Thou wilt work upon the lives of every hearer in this service. And bring precious souls even today to know Christ, to trust Him as their Lord and Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing the words of our closing hymn this morning, 332. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I've light in my soul, which so long I've sought since Jesus came into my heart. 332, we'll stand after the introduction and sing. It's on page 311 in our hymn book.
I'm not afraid to die.
Amen. Amen. If you're not saved, come to Christ this morning and trust in the Savior. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, apply the word to the hearts and consciences of men and women. May there be those today who will come and trust the Lord. We say, thank you, Lord, for 50 years. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and so free. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.